Hey, hi, you are listening to Trading Pages, the sisterly podcast where we challenge each other to read books we would normally never, ever pick up at the bookstore. We share an immense love for books.
Just maybe not that book. Each week, we give each other a new book to tackle and then come together to discuss what we liked, what we didn't like, and who knows, maybe we'll even find something we love.
I'm Allie. I'm the older sister.
And I'm Bronwyn, the younger sister, but not the youngest sister. We won't talk about her. She didn't invite me to her birthday party.
What? Thanks for joining us on our adventures with Trading Pages. And it's interesting because for us, I think we didn't used to have such different tastes in books growing up. We actually had a lot of crossover when we were younger.
Yeah. I think that we used to, back when we lived together, we just swapped books because, you know, there was no Kindle and there was no like Amazon Audible or anything like that. You had physical copies of books and it was just easier to like swap books back and forth when we were younger.
And then I didn't even think about it that way.
Yeah. And then we had similar tastes. Like I was telling this to Priscilla yesterday, where when you're a young adult, it's pretty common to kind of like sort of the mainstream stuff, such as Twilight or Divergent, things that are kind of easier to read because your brain's still growing and you want to be entertained.
Yeah.
But definitely we hit a point where we really branched off.
Yeah, we went in very different directions because I remember distinctly, like when we were growing up, like even when we didn't agree on a lot of stuff, you know, being sisters and teenagers and hormonal girls living in the same house, like even when we didn't agree on other stuff, like we agreed on books to a large degree. Like we both read Harry Potter together. We both read Golden Compass. Like you read Golden Compass first and then I read it. And and there, you know, definitely Twilight, Divergent, all of those. Like we definitely, even into college, like we were still reading some of those kinds of books. But then now, I don't know at what point exactly it diverged, but you and I now have very different tastes and books. We have some crossover, but by and large, we're not reading the same books these days.
A natural progression of, well, we've read all of these books that are super duper popular. And, you know, I think it's also an evolution in the way that books are written. You know, I would say that sort of the magical realism that I've really gotten into has really evolved over the past couple of years. It is by no means new, just like romances, but it has really evolved and become such a really fun niche and genre. And I think that probably the same could go for romance novels. I don't know a lot about it, but I have seen, you know, it used to be like, oh, if you read romance, you don't tell anyone about it, you know? Like,
yeah, I definitely feel that way. Like, I feel like the stigma around romance, the quality of the romance writing, and not that I feel like just because it's romance does not mean that it's of low quality. And I think that's kind of what people think of. They think of like kind of those cheap paperbacks, and those certainly do exist. But kind of calling back to what you were talking about, how like when we were younger, we didn't have like Kindle and Audible, and like it's really easy for stuff to get written and published these days, I feel like. And so I feel like we just have so much more access to so many different voices. And I think that's why, you know, typically when you think of like romance novels, you're thinking of like historical romance, bodice ripping, kind of what's that guy's name, Fabio on the cover.
Fabio.
And it's maybe kind of like lowbrow. But really when I'm the kind of romance that I'm reading these days really tackles a lot of like social issues of our time. And has a lot of diversity and a lot of gender diversity and sexuality diversity. And I think it's become a place where those different voices can be shared. So that's why I think romance is kind of having its second coming.
Sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah. See, and I think that that's really interesting because I have always kind of envisioned romance as a space for heterosexual women, you know, that it sort of is like, that is their space and that is the type of thing that they enjoy. And it is a man and a woman. And so I think that it'll definitely be interesting to kind of see those different things expressed and maybe even kind of looking at it through the eyes of as a queer woman and kind of being like, oh, well, you know, either, yes, you did a good job representing that, or, oh, I think that's weird. But
yeah,
I kind of think that, you know, on the same level with the magical realism, a lot of the books that I read. So one of my favorite magical realism authors is A.S. King, and she writes like weird off the wall books that most people are kind of like, I did not enjoy reading that because it was just too weird. And I love it because it is tackling, you know, those really big issues and things like anxiety, PTSD. She has a book about coming out that, you know, she expresses in a way that is, it's just, it's so weird that you don't have to read a book directly about this thing happening and how someone tackled it. It's more like, you know, these types of feelings are unexplainable, and so we're going to put unexplainable things into this book. And I don't think I'm describing it very well. I don't know.
I really think that you are, and I'm honestly really excited because magical realism is not a genre that I really explored very much. And I think that while it's not that I don't get symbolism, I think that pretty like a lot of the books that I read are pretty straightforward. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing that different side of things, and I think that's really interesting. And at the same time, I'm really excited to show you like that other side of romance and kind of like that queer side of romance, and not that that's the only thing I'm going to recommend to you. You know, I'm going to allow you to read other things for sure.
Oh. I'm pretty excited too because I have dabbled in romance before. However, the only type, what is ironic to me actually, is that the romance that I've dabbled in has all been manga and anime, which is the cheesiest, like lowbrow, throwaway type of romance that you could ever ask for, with a good majority of, you know, the manga and anime, you know, like you have the harem anime or manga, and so it's kind of funny to me that most of the romance that I have like read or sort of, you know, watched or looked at has been pretty cheesy and kind of bad, and I've just accepted that. And then when it comes to actual novels, I'm like, well, I can't read that. That's a romance novel.
Yeah. You know? Well, so, and to be fair, like, I don't know if there is a connection here, but in some ways I almost feel like the manga and anime might have kind of paved a way for some new romance that's been coming out because, like, and I haven't personally read any, and this has been like a personal challenge to myself, like this is the next romance genre I need to explore, is reverse harem. And this is something I know. So okay, but the fact that you know what that
I
is,
I know that term.
Okay, so this is what I'm saying, that like that I don't feel like that was something that had come up when I had been in all of the romance that I read. And really, Facebook is stalking me because I get ads for the weirdest romance novels all the time. But then like reverse harem popped up and I was like, this is okay. I would never would have thought of that. And I've been resistant to it because the type of romance that I really like, I do not like love triangles. It's like, I want two people to really care about each other, and they will go to extreme lengths to not necessarily save each other, but like what they're willing to sacrifice and do. How does that work with reverse harem, with like however many people that are involved, you know? And but the thing is, like, I've never been in a polyamorous relationship, so who am I to judge and question how that works and that multiple people could love each other?
Well, so harem in manga terms, I will correct you with something, is that harem in manga terms is not polyamorous. It's more like there is one guy And there are multiple women that are just like going for him. Like, just like, I want to be, I'm in love with you and I love you. That's what the term harem is in manga and anime, is sort of like one guy with many lovers. And then reverse harem is one woman who has many guys. I am adding a manga to the list though, because this is one of my favorite mangas, but I love it because of how wild it is. But it's called I'm a Gay Man and I'm the Star of a Harem Manga. And
that's literally the name of the book.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm typing it down right now. But it's like,
that's,
it's
amazing.
It's absurd when it comes to manga. Like, it's absurd content. And I don't think that it necessarily is polyamory. Like, I think that there are plenty of other books that would express polyamory better. Like, it's kind of a trope that is very self-aware in manga, which is kind of, it's almost like when you see a harem anime or a harem manga that is like, yes, this is a harem manga, they really make fun of it. Like, they really are like, it's absurd, it's wild.
Okay. So can we take a second then to talk about my, because I feel like this segues really nicely into talking about my test read of manga. Am I saying this right? Manga?
Yeah. So like,
it's not
so
manga.
Here's the thing, is that
manga.
Yeah. So I go back and forth because like the proper, like the weeb pronunciation is manga, but like you can say manga and nobody will get mad. But like, if you're a true weeb, you say manga. So.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to say manga because that makes sense to me. So what you were saying about how, like, it's a joke, it's really leaning into the trope. Uh-huh. Based on my very limited knowledge and the literal one manga that I have read.
Tell everybody
yesterday.
What you read, Allie. Tell the weebs what you read.
I read The Black Butler.
No, it's just Black Butler.
Oh, okay. So see, I'm already screwing up. I read Black Butler. I was thoroughly confused, and I feel how do I describe it? I feel that it's really leaning into, like, everything's really over the top. Everything's very exaggerated. And maybe, and I don't know if it was just this book or if this is all, and because I don't want to characterize all manga until I've maybe read a little bit more. Is that it really leans into all of the tropes and everything's really over-exaggerated. So the characters' emotions, their expressions, everything's really exaggerated. And so it seems to really lean into that. So, and now you're talking about this other one that's kind of a joke. Is that kind of how all manga is?
No, it really isn't. And this is kind of one of the things that I'm excited about. Because that's the other thing where we really differentiate is Allie is not, I am a weeb and I've been a weeb my whole life. But like once I got money and was working my own job, I could sort of fuel my weeb addiction a little bit more. But I'm going to make Allie read a number of manga and series, not like huge ones. But that is the other thing is that with manga, and even anime, it is so vast. And the amount of genres just in manga are like, it's not even one genre. And I could tell you about a manga that I read that was like about self-sacrifice and about discovering what true friendships are. And I could tell you one about a manga that I was considering having you read once you figured out how to read manga a little bit more, but it's really hard to
yeah.
It's hard for anybody to get through this one.
There's
but,
certainly
like, there's
a learning
mangas
curve.
About psychopaths who save the world. And then you also have ones that are really like very delicate and light. And there's ones about time travel. There's science fiction. There's romance. There's vampires. There's steampunk. There's so it's very, very vast. And one of the genres of manga happen to really like is that weird tongue-in-cheek, you know, like we know this is stupid and everybody who reads this, well, I guess Black Butler, we love it, but we also sometimes know that it's like, that's a lot. But it's those big emotions that are in manga that are really fun for me. But what I'm excited to do is I also have another manga on my list that is actually really reserved. Something that's really like, it tells a very quiet story of a high school girl. And the sort of genre that I'm talking about is called shoujo anime or shoujo manga. And it's more like, you know, just high school life. We're living our life and we're trying to figure things out.
We're talking about how different our interests are, but the things that you're describing like the romance novels that I read. Cause there's contemporary romance. Like I'm thinking of Tijin. She does a lot of stuff that's, you know, there's stuff going on in a young girl's life. She's in high school. She's dealing with all of these issues. She's trying to figure things out.
What I think this experiment that we're doing is so good because we do have a lot of the similar interests. If you just had two people who had not grown up together, you know, one was a Trump supporter and one was a, you know, Bernie or bust, and one, you know, and you try to get them together and do this podcast, chances are they would get bored really quickly and be like, fuck all these books you're recommending me. But because we have so many similar interests, not just with books, I mean, we watch a lot of the same TV shows. We like a lot of the same actors and actresses. We like a lot of the same, you know, kids' TV shows. We read we talk about news the same. We have the same political views and the same sort of ideas about how people should be treated. And I think that that's what's going to make this interesting because, you know, you're going to say, I would never, ever, ever go into a store and look at the manga section. And I would never, ever go into a store and look at a romance section. And yet we're going to find stuff that we're going, oh my gosh, this is my shit, you know?
Absolutely. And I think that's a good segue into what it is that we're trying to do and maybe kind of setting some ground rules about what we're doing, because the purpose of we're doing, like the joke is that we're forcing each other, which implies that this is not necessarily something that we would enjoy or that we're doing this to be mean to each other. Like that's the joke. But in reality, you know, I think one of the main ground rules is that we're sharing books that we both have read and that we both liked. It wasn't like a book we read and we're like, oh my gosh, this book was so terrible. I can't wait to make Bronwyn read it because it's going to be so bad.
But to be fair, can I clarify one thing?
Yeah.
There are some things that I love that are terrible, like Black Butler. So am I allowed to do that?
Yeah, because I think what's terrible is subjective, as well as I think that there are some things that I like that I think someone would think that they're bad, and I've jokingly called them literary junk food. But that doesn't mean that I don't love it as well. Like, there's definitely some romance, like, I'm not going to say the title of it yet, but the one that I'm recommending to you, I think that some people would find to be pretty terrible, but I love it. I think it's fantastic and beautiful. So,
So the one that I decided to recommend to you is from one of my favorite authors. So I want to, you know, definitely make sure that I kind of introduced you to that thing. And a lot of people have commented on it and they've been like, I swear to God, I tried to finish this book, but I hated it. I love this author, but I did not enjoy this. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I love this shit, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm interested. I'm really interested to see your reactions to the books that I recommend to you. And, you know, the type of stuff that I read, I think there is going to be some crossover because, you know, like some of the books that we've both read and enjoyed, like we both read Daughter of Smoke and Bone. And I don't know if you ever finished the series. I know you liked the beginning. I don't know if you liked how it ended, but I think there's some crossover there with kind of that modern fantasy YA kind of stuff that we like, but it also has the undertone of romance. Like, not everything is going to be that traditional pseudo bodice ripping, meet cute, steamy, sexy seen romance type novel, but definitely some of them are going to be, because I just love that. And I love love, and I'm interested to see how you like that. But then also, I've really gotten into reading Star Wars books again, and I've met an incredible author at the last book con that I went to, Latinx author. She's amazing, Zoraida Cordova. I'm really interested to see what you think of her book. And it's on my list to recommend, and it's actually the Galaxy's Edge novel. Like, it's a novel about the new Star Wars land. And like, I think some people would think that that's pretty terrible. It's a book about a theme park and making it real, but I think that that's pretty great. So it has to be a book that we've read. We had to enjoy it. Does not necessarily mean that it has to be of a certain caliber and quality, because I think as we were talking, it is subjective, and what one person thinks of as good, like, we don't have to be pretentious and be like, this book or this manga or this piece of writing is worthy of my time, because I just don't like that idea that any kind of writing and any kind of art is worthy of anyone, and you don't have to have that pretentiousness. So I'm good with, give me stuff that's terrible, but that you love it.
So then it almost would be more prudent to say, not even really that you liked it, or that I mean, it's almost like, is this something that you enjoyed reading? Did you get joy when you read it? Did it bring you joy? We Marie Kondo.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's Marie Kondo the shit out of this. And I'm going to give you all of the books that spark joy in my life, which might mean that I have to slash one of my books off of my list, because I had to endure reading Me Before You by JoJo Moyes. And I feel like I need to subject you to reading that, but I don't know that that one necessarily sparked joy, but I think we could have a very interesting conversation about it. But I might strike that one from my list.
So one thing that I wanted to ask, because I enjoy reading this type of content, but I know that there are a lot of people that really hate it. And if this is true, then I may need to strike the first book idea I have for you. But I really like, so people dealing with trauma, it is something that I can relate to, and we're not going to get super duper into that, but I like reading books that are really raw, that are really intense, but that, like, you know, possibly discuss, you know, topics of sexual assault or abuse or different things like that. And I just want to make sure that that's okay with you, or if you're like, listen, I don't really want to, because I also respect if people are like, I don't want that content in my books. So
yeah. And honestly, I really love that when authors, and this is a thing that not every romance author does, but I actually really love when they do it, they'll put, like, Pippa Grant does, like, a little, like, blurb at the very beginning of her book, be like, this is a romance novel without any cheating that has a guaranteed happily ever after. I'm like, fuck yeah. Thank you so much for letting me know right from the get-go, because I hate when I'm halfway through a book and find out that, like, the main character is, like, cheating or something like that, or that there's not a happily ever after, when that's really what I was going for when I read this book. I'm okay with books not having a happily ever after, but if I'm going into kind of like a fluffy, happy romance, I want to know that I'm going to get the cream puff, like, at the end of the story. Like, I want to know that I'm going to be happy. But to answer your question, I'm totally okay with people dealing with trauma. And I think that brings up a really good point. And something I wanted to talk to you about was talking about real issues and serious issues versus taboo. Because I get really confused with this topic of taboo writing, because I feel very strongly about this. And I feel like this categorizing things as taboo is a way for people to get permission to write about things that are problematic, but then be like, well, you can't criticize me for it because I'm writing in the taboo genre and you just don't get it. Because I think there's a difference between talking about sexual assault and romanticizing sexual assault.
I understand. And, yes.
Yeah, because, like, because it can exist and you can write about a person dealing with it. I have a problem with romance novels where people are subjugated or victims of sexual assault, or there's coercion involved, or where people are in like forced sexual situations, not to be confused with marriage of convenience, which is like two people consenting to an awkward situation and then they fall in love with each other, but where like a woman is kidnapped and she's forced into a situation and then falls in love with her captor. And so I figured it would be the same for you. And those aren't books that I read. Those do not bring me joy. So that's a big like no. And so, but you know what I'm talking about. The difference between, let's talk about trauma and taboo.
Yeah. So it's really interesting that you bring that up, because that is a very, very big discussion in the anime romance world, because oftentimes romance will become sort of a like one of the people is like really, really persistent. And, you know, it can occasionally, if there are ever any of those types of romance scenes, they call it dubious consent in most manga romance, where it's not non-consensual, but it was dubious, where you're like, did that person actually enjoy what was happening? And that's the type of stuff where I'm like, I wish that manga would get out of that cycle of making it so that, you know, it wasn't just 100% wholeheartedly, you know, consensual. And I am totally on board with that rule. I just, you know, I also really respect people who, the way that I cope with trauma is by reading these weird books and these weird books about trauma and how other people deal with it. And, you know, Turtles All the Way Down. And I also really respect people who say, listen, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want mention of it in my book. I don't sex to be in my book. And so whichever way you were, I was going to be respectful, but I was going to strike a couple books if you were like, listen, I don't want to deal with that. So
absolutely. And I absolutely respect that. And it's interesting that you're talking about like your way of processing trauma and processing things that have happened in your life. And while I haven't experienced trauma per se, I have a very stressful job where I get a lot of like compassion fatigue, and the word is completely escaping me, but it's like the type of trauma that you receive like from being adjacent to trauma. What, and this is going to make me really upset that I cannot think of what the word for this is. I'll probably remember it later. But basically when you're like constantly being like surrounded by trauma or helping people experiencing trauma, then like the exhaustion secondary trauma, that's what it's called, like the secondary trauma that comes from it. I knew it would come to me eventually. And so for me, when I'm reading, not that I'm opposed to reading, but I'm totally open on going on this journey with you and opening myself up to that. But the books that I'm sharing with you have been my way of dealing with that. Like I have to completely escape from these things. And I just want things that make me feel happy and are really straightforward, and people overcome their problems and have a happy ending at the end of it all. And I just think it's really wonderful, and it's okay if it's kind of junk foody in the way that it happened.
I thought it was a pretty interesting segue that you mentioned your high school kids, because my book that I am recommending you, can I tell you the title of it?
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of excited with like what you were talking about. I actually think that this might be a good book. Technically, this book is not magical realism. People have called it surrealism because it is just so wild and off the cuff. But I listen to it all the time. I love it. But let me tell you the title. So it is called I Crawl Through It. What do you think it's about?
I Crawl Through It. Okay. All right. So this is the point where we're going to guess what each other's books are about. So I Crawl Through It. You said it's surrealist. Okay. So I'm just going to come up with the most off the wall thing. So it is about a young girl. I'm going to assume that she's in high school because you gave me that little tidbit. And she gets lost in a cave, and she has to crawl through, she has to crawl through a tunnel to get out. Okay. What is it about?
Okay. So I pulled up the author's blurb
And then I also pulled up the Teen Reads blurb that ended up getting me to read it. And I also want to send you the book trailer, which you'll have to watch on your own time. But the book
trailer
and the
Teen
Reads, yeah, the book trailer and the Teen Reads blurb is what ultimately got me to read this, where I was like, this is my shit. So the Amazon description and the author description is, four teenagers are on the verge of exploding. The anxieties they face at every turn have nearly pushed them to the point of surrender. Senseless high-stakes testing, the lingering damage of past trauma, the buried grief and guilt of tragic loss. They are desperate to cope, but no one is listening. And so the...
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so the Teen Reads description, this is what got me to be like, okay, this is my shit. So, here's the four teenagers. A prodigy who builds an invisible helicopter. A poet who swallows herself whole. A nudist who builds gorgeous sculptures in the shape of letters. A biologist who splits herself in two. These are just a few of the characters who bring Prince Honor author A.S. King's new surreal novel, I Crawl Through It, to life.
Okay, that sounds super interesting. And like, when you're describing those kids and like what they're dealing with, like that sounds like my job. That sounds like what I'm dealing with every day. And so I'm super optimistic about this. Like I was a little nervous to hear like what the first book would be, but I'm super excited about this because I feel like maybe it'll give me some insights into my life.
Well, I
think that'll be cool.
Yeah. Well, and I picked one of my favorite books. Like this is genuinely one of my favorite books ever. And it isn't a book that I would normally recommend to you because like I said, it's really weird. It's like, what I would recommend when you read this is to just let it happen. Like, do not attempt to figure out what is going on. At no point should you say, why is this person doing this? Why is this happening? Why is the helicopter only visible on Tuesdays? Like, don't do any
it's
of
Tuesday.
The, like, yeah, it's Tuesday. don't do any of that type of stuff. Just read the book and let it happen. And then once you consume the book whole, that's when you can go, what do I think of these characters and what these different things mean? That's what I would recommend to you.
Oh boy.
Because a lot of people, they struggle getting through this book because it's quote unquote too weird, but I love the shit out of it. So,
Well, I'm really excited. Okay. Do you want to hear the book I'm going to make you read?
Yes. Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, so I wouldn't necessarily, so I'm honored that you're giving me your favorite book. I'm giving you one of my new favorites because it's too hard for me to pick one favorite. Also, my top favorite, I think you would actually pick up off the shelf. So I'm going to have to consider giving it to you or not giving it to you later. Also, it's a huge book. But anyway, this one, I literally just read it this month. It's one of my new favorite authors. I really like her. The book is called Let's Get Textual by Tegan Hunter. What do you think this book is about? And it's a romance. I will tell you that. It's a romance.
Listen, I think this book... See, I'm not cut out for this.
It's okay. It's okay.
I think this book is about sexting.
Anything else?
That is, I think it's either about sexting or it is either about librarians getting it on. Those are the two things that I think.
OMG, I do have a book about librarians, but it's not this one.
Well, it's probably because Let's Get Textual stole the best title for librarians getting it on.
No, the best one for librarians getting it on is, oh my gosh, Hottie in the Stacks, or wait, what is it called? Hunk in the Stacks? It's something about stacks. I can't remember that. I'm messing up the title, but that's my hot librarian is, it's like Hot in the Stacks or something like that. Okay, so I'll read you the blurb about it. A LOL standalone romantic comedy readers are calling their favorite rom-com of all time. A wrong number is supposed to be just that, a wrong number. Delete. Done. Do not continue to text. Do not flirt. A wrong number shouldn't be the first person on your mind in the morning or the last at night, and you're definitely not supposed to talk them into buying a baby goat because that would be weird. When Zach Hastings and I get into a wrong number mix-up, we don't follow the rules. We keep texting and flirting because he's wicked funny and perfectly nerdy and a wonderful distraction. I'm not looking for love, and Zach definitely had the wrong number, but maybe he's the right guy. So Let's Get
Oh
Textual
my
is a, I
goodness.
know. Let's Get Textual is a full-length standalone rom-com with a happily ever after, with an HEA, as we call it. So see, like you already know it's gonna have a happy ending.
Yeah, see, and like I just have to say, like that is not something that I would pick up and read for sure. I am definitely interested, but it's like it's so cheesy. Like I just am excited to see how. It's just so cheesy. Well, I'm really excited to see how it all comes out, because I definitely, it is 100% not something that I would just read. I would pick
Yeah.
that up and I would take a picture of the back of the book to send to my friends to be like, haha, look at this.
Thank you so much for listening to this pilot episode of Trading Pages. If you're enjoying this podcast, you can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen. This podcast is hosted by Anchor FM and recorded and edited using Soundtrap. Make sure you click subscribe so you don't miss any of our new episodes and leave us a review. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Trading Pages Pod and on Facebook at Trading Pages Podcast. Want to ask us a question? Recommend a book? Berate Allie for trying to kick a rooster? Send us an email at tradingpagespodcasts@gmail.com. Next episode, we will be talking about I Crawl Through It by A.S. King and Let's Get Textual by Tegan Hunter. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next time.
It's because I was using the internet to look at this picture, and then when I bring my eyes back to his face, he's smirking. I'm a stud. I know. And I